I bet we're a little bit too long.
I've seen that happen.
Good morning. I'd like to call to order the Public Services Committee meeting Monday, September 30th, 2019. I want to welcome all of you here. Just a quick shout out for all the work that you did during Hurricane Dorian. This staff was second to none, and we're all grateful for it. The work that you did is nothing short of exemplary, and the town is said nothing but made several comments about the work that you've done and performed. So with that, I will move to item number one, which is the approval of the minutes of the July 1st meeting.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the July 1st, 2019 meeting. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion carries unanimously. Second item on the agenda is public comments. Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to comment? Y'all are quiet. The third item on the agenda is the employee years of service recognition. Let's turn that over to you, Mr. Jody.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I promise you this time will be no hugging and kissing this time.
Come on, don't disappoint.
Maurice Mazik, would you please come forward? It's my pleasure to recognize Maurice Mazik for 15 years of service. Maurice started his employment with the town as a laborer for our waste management division in October 2004. In April of 2005, he obtained his CDL driver's license and was promoted to a vehicle operator. After working for the Public Service Department for 8 years, he started a new career in the Planning Department as a building inspector in June of 2013. After spending 3 years in the Planning Department, Maurice transferred back to the Public Service Department as a waste management operator crew leader. And since 2017, Maurice has been a foreman for a solid waste section of our waste management division. I've always said, the children will leave you, but they always come back home. Maurice has been a tremendous asset to our team and a great leader to those he supervises, which can be seen throughout the town with the consistency of excellence our town's waste management division provides on a daily basis. Maurice has received countless thank you letters from residents and council members for the work he and his team provides to the town on a daily basis. Maurice has a go-getter attitude and always goes above and beyond to get the job done. Maurice, you are a vital member of our department, and we are fortunate to have you with us. Congratulations on 15 years of service.
Release this picture. Yeah, I'll get a picture, no kisses.
Come on, Jody. Come on, Jody.
That's the first time I've seen Jody blush.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, don't shake him up. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Peel. The fourth item on the agenda is the update in the Old Village Stormwater Improvement Project. Mr. Peel?
Yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to give you an update of where we are with the Old Village Stormwater, and that's the Royal Avenue and the Edwards Basin. And today we have Rick Krakowski with Thomas and Hutton who will give us an update.
All right. Rick? Good morning, Rick.
There's a clicker on there, Rick, right under the thing. Right underneath it. There's a
okay,
clicker.
Thank you. All right.
To have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back. We've made a significant amount of progress since the last time I was able to update you guys. And I will apologize a little bit. We did prepare this presentation before the hurricane, and so the slides are a little bit out of date, but I'll explain that here in a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about where we are on the design, where the permitting is, how the costs have evolved a little bit, what are our next steps, and then some notable items that we just want to bring to the committee's attention, because it will significantly impact some folks. So we just want to bring that up. So on the Royal Avenue design, this is our design is a system of pipes that will provide a level of service up to the 10-year event. And then so this is our design. I think it's pretty familiar to everybody. with an outfall at the end of Royal Avenue. So as of today, you know, the plans are essentially done. I leave them at 99% because we're still in permitting. There might be one or two little things that we have to do. So there's been no significant design changes since you guys saw the plans and that. There have been some significant restoration revisions and additions. The DOT required some pretty stringent restoration of DOT roads. We had first proposed doing some like half road repairs and things like that, but they've insisted on some pretty stringent things. So a lot of the roads that we will be working on will essentially be rebuilt as part of the project to restore them. There's some moderate utility relocation revisions and additions that we had to do per Mount Pleasant Water Works. And, you know, we coordinated that with them and did that. And then we did some plan revisions, you know, like I stated, the major DOT revisions, some moderate MPW, and then DHEC and the town MS4 review required some minor revisions. But that's more on the construction side, not the permanent structure side. So on Edwards Park, again, just reviewing the Edwards Park design. Again, if you guys remember, Edwards Park is lagging the design of Royal. But the Edwards Park design is the bypass on the that takes a good part of the basin, this upper basin, takes it off of the pump station, which is right here, and creates a new outfall at Queen. So that design is progressed very well. We're about, you know, what I would consider 95%. We since you've seen it, there's been some minor alignment adjustments. There's some detailed designs that we had to do. The utility relocation has been completed, so we know where all the conflicts are, and we've designed relocations or have made provisions for that. The pump station assessment is completed, and we've incorporated recommendations from that into the plans. As part of that stormwater pump station assessment, we did an electrical assessment to make sure that the pump station, the existing pump station, can function at all times, you know, including hurricanes and things like that. And then our bypass system, this is getting in the weeds a little bit, but we have a new bypass and jockey pump system that has been incorporated in design, and that takes the stress off the large pumps and puts it on a small pump that could keep up with like these, you know, maybe groundwater inflow just to keep the water moving in the system so we don't have to rely on the big pumps. So we could save them for the large storms. As we progress the designs, any comments that we got on the Royal Avenue system, we incorporated a similar, you know, design or accommodation in our Edwards Park basin. So we're trying to avoid any comments from the DOT or Mount Pleasant Water Works because we already know what they're looking for. So that's all been incorporated in the Edwards Park design. So hopefully we won't have that issue with the review comments then. So this is the slide that is slightly out of date. So on the permitting side, we have a coastal zone consistency permit. That's essentially preliminarily approved, but they hold on to that until we get all our other permits. They won't release that permit. OCRM critical area, that is been submitted and is under review. There was a public notice period that has come and closed. We've gone through the three submittals to DOT, and so that third submittal where it says pending, that's actually been updated to it's been made. So we've revised all the plans. So like when they had those specific comments, and that included a lot of restoration, we included that in our plans and then have resubmitted that back to their review and approval. Our DHEC Bureau of Water permit, and we've addressed their comments, and we've resubmitted that second review, so that's in. the town of Mount Pleasant, the MS4, there's a review that's done here at the town, and we've responded to those comments and have resubmitted back to the town for their approval. And then finally, the Mount Pleasant Waterworks, we had initial coordination, we had our first submittal review, we addressed all their specific comments, and we have submitted the second submittal, and we're waiting their comments. So we're just kind of in a holding pattern right now on Royal, just making sure these permits are moving through the system. The only thing that really is outstanding is this Old Village Historic Commission review that we still have to do. And then on Edwards Park, again, kind of reviewing this. This has been updated since you know, the hurricane, you know, since about a month has progressed. But so the OCRM CZC has been submitted, and again, that has been approved, preliminarily approved, pending the issuance of all the other permits. Our OCRM critical area permit has been submitted, and that. That is under review, and the public notice period has come and gone. We've made our first submittal on the DOT encroachment permit, so that submittal was a lot fuller submittal, if you will, and addressed what we believe they're looking for. So again, hopefully our time before the DOT on this particular plan set will be less. The Bureau of Water, we have made the first submittal, and again, we've incorporated a lot of things that they commented on the Royal, and then of course the town, we've submitted that also. And then we had our initial coordination with Mount Pleasant Waterworks on Edwards Park, and then we've had our first submittal also. So again, on this one, very similar to Royal, we're essentially in a holding pattern waiting for these review agencies to complete their reviews and get back to us. And this one has a similar outstanding issue as the Old Village Historic Commission. We have to take that to them. So there's one or two things that this one's probably a little more sensitive on that issue because there's some work in Edwards Park that we have to be, you know, cognizant of. So project costs, not a huge change over the last time. There are some significant cost increase on this restoration. The DOT restoration costs have escalated a good amount, so there is some escalation there, but right now the Royal Avenue is sitting at 5.85, as you can see, and then the Edwards Park with some, you know, there's some, I guess, like options and things like that. It's particularly a generator, a new generator. But again, that gets us to 100% coverage and being able to operate under all conditions. And so, without the generator, our cost is $6.8 million. So the next steps, and again, this is again out. Dated. So instead of saying resubmittals, we just need to say monitor and coordinate with the agencies for our DOT, Bureau of Water, Town MS4, and Mount Pleasant Waterworks utilities. The critical area permits, like we said, they have been approved preliminarily, so we just have to work on that. In the Edwards Park, instead of making submittals, it's we just need to monitor and respond to our different agencies there. So again, design's done, all the costs are in, all the permitting's in process, and I don't suspect any large changes based upon what, you know, I think we've gone through the large changes and incorporated any large issues there. And then, so notable items, just again, this is like more for the commission's understanding tree impacts. We want to make sure you're aware that there's some significant tree impacts as part of the project. We're talking about 40 trees on the Royal Avenue Basin and about 22 trees on the Edwards Park Basin. Again, we've done as much as we can to avoid these impacts, locating locating. We actually adjusted the alignments to save some trees. We walked the entire project with town staff, looking at the alignments, and made some shifting to try to lessen that. Another notable item, if you will, is on-street parking and private landscaping within the right-of-ways. So as part of our project, we're doing a significant amount of work on the edges of the right-of-way, so in between the edge of pavement and the right-of-way edge. There's been, over time, in the old village, you guys understand, parking has been made, landscaping has been added to many of these homes along these ways. We've checked with the DOT. The DOT issues no encroach, so they're all there within the public right-of-way without an encroachment permit. So it's not, you know, I'm not saying anybody's doing anything bad or wrong, but they're not there with the permission of the DOT if it's a DOT road, and they're not there with the permission of the town if it's a town road. So all that work has been done essentially, you know, bearer of bad news, at risk. So here's the risk. We have not made any provisions in these plans to restore what is there now. Our restoration includes driveways, concrete driveways, and grassing and sod. So, you know, I think the town and us need to make a decision or how we're going to handle this. You know, I would certainly think we would give any town or any homeowner the opportunity to remove his material and save it. And then I guess it's up to the DOT and the town to allow if they're going to put it back. But right now our plans are only to restore it to a sod. And this kind of gets back to, you know, some of the original intents of these drainage systems. You know, the designs of these systems, you know, back in the day, if you review the DOT, was a shallow swale off the edge of pavement that allows water to kind of travel and infiltrate a little bit. And now those systems have been filled, if you will, by these parking areas, and that water is pushed to the edge of pavement and gets to the drainage system rather than then infiltrating into the ground. So by what we're doing is we're trying to restore a little bit of the design intent of these roads and actually, you know, if you will, add a little green to the project. Bad news, good news. The DOT has come back, so instead of anticipation partial funding, we've heard back, and they have funded a very small part of the project. So for the Royal Avenue, now we don't have any official, you know, the communication we have is that there's some official communication coming, but from what we understand, the Royal Avenue has been funded for $495,000, and the Edwards Park project has been funded for $754,000. So,
$12 million.
All of it helps.
$1.2 million.
So that's a good news, if you will, and then two kind of issues are out there. We do require easements on just the outfalls. So the outfalls on the Royal Avenue Basin, believe it or not, it's outfalls to a marsh, but that marsh is actually identified as a private parcel, and it's owned by a conglomerate, a family, if you will. So and so there's a big heirs issue, if you will. The ownership's not clear. There's some issue there. So over time, you know, it does sound bad, but the town has the ability to, if the ownership is never cleaned up, if the title is never cleaned up, the town could condemn what needs to be condemned, and then the money, you know, there's a fair market value that you're getting. That money is held out there until these heirs could clear the property, and then they get the money. It's not like you're taking it. You're giving them fair market value. So that has, you know, I've been involved in other projects involving heirs' property, and that's possible way to go. We are working, Jody and Ken, and you know, we've been trying to work with the family to get through it, but it's not going fast or very well. So And then on the Edwards Park, we'd still need to get a permit, but that's an easement. That's a state easement. So the process is a lot straightforward, and we're dealing with the Department of Commerce, I believe, is the group that we get it from. So that's still pending. So those are the notable items. And then the only thing at the end is, like, project phasing and value engineering. You know, I know the funding of this project still is outstanding on the town side. So, you know, we have this DOT funding that you know, will need to be incorporated in the project. And then, so, you know, of course, we could phase this project. We could break it up into manageable chunks that, you know, we could do a portion of it this year or next year, and over time work through the project. And that is all I have. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Rick, I appreciate the presentation. I want to thank you for being here and sharing what progress you've made through this. And I'll just open this up for discussion with the committee. Ms. Landing?
Thank you so much, Rick. Okay, so first of all, based on what you've shown us, if we were going to phase the projects, would Royal be the one that would probably be the most likely to start, or Edwards?
I would think Royal would be the best, because it has the, you know, again, that was our number one priority basin, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't think the DOT is going to allow you to put the Edwards Park money over into Royal, so I think you're going to have to do a piece of each one to maintain the DOT funding.
Okay. Second thing is, so I have three things. So the second one is, just for reference to everybody, I just want to point out, Edwards, the reason you had to do all that was because we voted on the gravity-based system, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Better long-term maintenance, less cost long-term.
That's correct. Yes.
A little bit more trouble in the short term.
Yes, correct.
Okay, great. Now, the third thing I want to mention is some of the things you said about, for instance, the 40 trees in Royal Avenue, and I think it was 20 in Edwards. I just want to point out, you know, when the Dutch Dialogues came back, which was a really fascinating study, a whole lot of what was in there was quite common sense, especially if you're conservation-oriented, things like not building in filled-in wetlands and things of that nature. But a lot of them did have to do with things like vegetation. And Mount Pleasant, we have gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that we maintain vegetation and even do better than maintain. If something's removed, that we have to have it replaced in spades. I mean, I think it's at 5 to 1. It's a pretty high replacement rate. So I guess I'm going to ask two questions, maybe even to Mr. DeMora. On these ones where trees will have to be removed, and I know Rick said that they haven't worked out the details, and also on concrete driveways, and vegetation associated with people's homes. Well, you said sod is what they're doing. Just want to check, is there a way that we can then study the possibility of encouraging people to replace with a permeable driveway matter, and also have not just 40 trees and 20 trees replaced, but actually add more? Because the bottom line, and that's why I referenced the Dutch Dialogues, is that the more vegetation you have, the more water that gets soaked up naturally, and that's the best way to deal with it. So.
Very good questions, Ms. Landing. We can certainly look for opportunities. You're aware of the conflicts that are imposed by vegetation around stormwater lines,
mm-hmm.
But where there are opportunities, we'll certainly look at it.
Okay.
I will just chime in just a little bit. All the trees are within the right-of-way. So, you know, the number one of the challenges that we'll face going forward is, you know, we can't replace them in the right-of-way, you know, because, you know, it's a hazard, and so that's going to be an issue. So any mitigation is going to, you know, maybe we do a, you know, plant, you know, people want trees in their yard, so maybe we do a program where we, you know, find some participating people in the old village that need trees or want trees in their yard, and we mitigate them in people's yards. I mean, that would be my one thing, because you kind of want them in that basin, mm-hmm. as much as possible. But the one problem we are going to have is we really can't replace them in the right of way due to the you know, safety issues.
Right. Thank you.
Vistas? Again, Rick, I appreciate your time and the work that you put in this. A couple questions that I've got as far as the DOT. The roadway and the replacement, Are they going to allow you to mill half and then pave full width, or is what's the discussions with DOT?
And I'll have to maybe go to my colleague back here who's going to work on the plans. Hillary has the details on that.
Mm-hmm. We're essentially going to just replace the half of the road that we were impacting. The DOT wants us to mill and pave higher width of the roadway.
Right.
And where we're going to be crossing the roads and patching perpendicular, they want us to be the full width. We have so many crossings within a certain roadway.
Is there a length determined, either 50 or 100 feet on either side of the crossing? Yeah, the crossing itself, usually, you know, you go 50 feet on either side of the crossing.
They didn't specify that.
They were like more like if you got like more than two per block, you had to do the entire block or something. Like if we were crossing it with new, like, you know, if we're going down the side with the trunk line and mm-hmm. we were crossing it with a collection, and if we had like a block where we crossed it two or three times, they said you can't just patch around your crossing. You had to patch around your crossing plus mill and resurface the entire road.
Right. I don't know how the contract is going to read regarding the pervious pavers that Ms. Lanning brought up. You know, typically you tie into what's existing, and it's kind of hard to cut half a driveway out or a portion of a driveway and go back with some other material. But on the vegetation and the landscaping, you're going to go back in there with sod. Who's communicating with the homeowners about replacing their shrubs? It's going to be their responsibility.
Exactly. I mean, I think, you know, I mean, I think that would be a combination of a coordination between, you know, us helping with it. I think the town would want to reach out a lot, and then, you know, the contractor, because they're, you know, I think you want to give them that opportunity to salvage anything if they want to do it. So you got to, you know, keep them informed of the progress of the work. You know, you don't want to do it 3 months before the project, but you want to, you know, if they want to pull their pavers up or they want to transplant some plants, then you want to give them, you know, a month or so as it progresses.
Yeah.
But I would think that would certainly be a large effort, and it needs to be really coordinated. I would, you know, would hope that the town would, you know, through their community outreach and their communication staff could really step up and
well, the town knows who they are, correct, and we can send them some sort of notices.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mr. Owens, I think you'll see in our next presentation how well we presented and got into the public of what we're getting ready to do and how we're going to do it.
Right.
Our PR is critical to making sure the project is successful. And we did that with Snee Farm, and that's what we're going to have to do, and probably, you know, fine-tune it even more for the Old Village when we start the project in the Old Village.
Thank you, Ms. Peel. Regarding the permitting process, we're at 99%. Completion or construction documents, right?
Yeah.
And so what are we looking like as far as the timeline for the permitting process to be completed?
I mean, I think, you know, Royal could be done. You know, I think we've hit them all. You know, I don't really foresee any back and forth on that. I would believe Edwards, there might be one more review. So I would think, you know, Royal, barring anything on the critical area permit, you know, that has some you know, comments and saying, and I'm not, and I'll, you know, we haven't checked with OCRM whether anybody's commented, but, you know, it is reviewed. All these permits, that type of permit goes on public notice, and so it has a scrutiny by the local residents. They get a card and they get, you know, hey, there's a permit going on near you, and then all the resource agencies like DNR, Fish and Game, and all them, they might make a comment that could affect it, but I can't see that being that much. So I would think we're, you know, I don't like to say, but I mean, we're within 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, by the end of the year, we'll have everything buttoned up, ready to go.
Okay.
And then.
Well, thank you, Rick.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
And I would have, I'm assuming, don't like to do that, but Mr. Peel With regard to the outfall, are we working? We're certainly working with legal to try to find some means to negotiate the easement for that outfall.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Rick. Appreciate
All right. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Lanning, you got another question?
Just wanted to make one more comment. So in regard to, I know this is a little in the weeds, but it bears mentioning now because I don't know when else we'll have a chance. And that is when we are communicating to the public, I know in our neighborhood, I'm sure it's true everywhere, a lot of times it is your last couple sections of concrete that tend to crack the most as they're settling, and maybe perhaps as people are coming in over time in the driveway. That's actually an ideal opportunity, because when you take that, a lot of places have a different matter at the beginning. And when you look at what are the most permeable things, oftentimes the most permeable types of matter are less expensive than replacing with concrete. So, I mean, I've read in Seattle Times there was a thing about grass. There's been gravel, crushed oyster. I mean, there's all kinds of things. We have a lot of oysters sitting out there. I don't know how you go about doing that, but we have a whole lot sitting over at 6 Mile. Just mentioning it so that we know that the town is making that message very clear that we want to move as much as possible towards things that drain well.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ready? Anything else? Okay. Well, thanks, Rick.
All right. Thank you, guys.
The next item on the agenda is the update on the Snee Farm Stormwater Improvement Project. Mr. Peel?
Yes, sir. I'm going to turn this over to Sarah Mittermeier, and Sarah's going to give you an update where we stand with this project. As you well know, it's an SRF. It was right around $9 million. We started the project, and I won't take, you know, it away from her. Let her explain. Sarah was part of it. They'll explain where we're at, where we're going, and how well it ran.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Sarah? I'm going to, hopefully Martine can get us set up with the next PowerPoint.
Mm-mm. You have it.
I mean, I can try.
It's not the hurricane, it's SRF.
Well, can we jump right? We're jumping one? We skipping one?
Well, that's number three. It was number two. I can't remember.
Right there. Right there.
Good.
Okay, hold on. I need to slide show.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Sarah Mittermeier, the project engineer for Public Services. I've been assisting Ken Rye with the project management for Snee Farm SRF project, and we just wanted to give you a quick update this morning. It's just a project area map. We started the project back in July of 2018. It was originally estimated to take 2 years to complete, but however, due to a number of factors, including good weather, Gulfstream dedicating multiple crews, and the cooperation of the residents and the internal support we've gotten from various departments, including finance and procurement, we've been able to shave several months off that timeline, and now we're on track to end next month into early November. Just some budget figures here. The eligible loan amount was $9.6 million for both construction and inspection. The Gulfstream contract for construction is just over $8.7 million. However, we do have a final change order in progress. The Woolpert contract for inspection services is at $488,000. However, we're anticipating some savings there due to the decreased timeline. We also wanted to point out some interesting line items. We've removed and replaced 4,800 linear feet of pipe. We've lined over 6,800, and we've also done approximately 2,400 linear feet of channel maintenance and repair. That concludes our update, unless there's any questions.
Yes, how far along? What's our completion?
The end of October, sir, we should be done. The remaining work is basically just lining a few pipes, and we have some general site cleanup that we need to do, but we're pretty close. So.
Site cleanup at this point?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just want to commend y'all. That is amazing to be able to finish a project that far in advance when you're talking about summer 2020, and now it's going to be done in a matter of weeks. I mean, the town thanks you. The people of Snee Farm, I'm sure, thank you very, very much. And you say it's sort of luck with the weather and all, but let's face it, it's also hard work and dedication. You've been extraordinarily efficient. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thanks again, Sarah. I appreciate your presentation. All right. Moving on to item number six, the update on the debris removal. But before we move into that, Mr. Peel, I just want to congratulate you and your staff, the entire staff, and the contractors' assistants on the quick work that y'all have done. The experience pays off, and your expertise is second to none, and we thank you and your staff. Thank you.
Well, it's not me. It's the public service folks. I mean, the ones that were prior to the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. They took pride in their work, and I couldn't ask for a better group of guys. I want to thank Andy for his hard work. I want to thank Jennifer for her hard work with getting it out there. Public notice is critical. We took a few hits on social media, but I just don't think they realize what was out there and how much was out there. And also one thing that was really nice to have this year and we didn't have last year to the point we had it this year was GIS. In order to be able to put maps up there on the board and be able to tell you where we're at, where we've been, where we're going, was critical. Yeah. I'd like to thank Frankie and the IT department. So I'll turn it over to Andy.
All right. Thanks, Jody. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to give you a quick update kind of from where we started to where we're at now. Prior to the storm, we did our normal storm preparations, trying to clear ditches, storm drainage, and prep the town facilities for the storm. Throughout the storm, we patrolled in zone as we usually do and removed trees as they came down to allow us to stay ahead of things. We stood up the full MEOC 4th and 5th of September, a full activation with our guys in the field. And then on the 6th, Friday, we started the initial damage assessment for the town and then storm cleanup. Also on the 6th, we started coordinating with Charleston County. I think we were on the phone with them 9:30 at night trying to figure out kind of what the process was going to be and if they were going to bring the debris removal contractors in, if we were willing to participate with them and things like that. On Saturday the 7th, we were already staging contractor gear as it was rolling into town, and we put it up at Lieben Road with the grinders that they were bringing in for the debris management site up at Seawee, as well as some of the big trucks you guys started seeing throughout the town. On Monday the 9th, we submitted an estimate of about 90,000 cubic yards of vegetative debris in the town and the county areas within the town. And then on the 9th, we also started our debris collection. We gave everybody the weekend to try to start getting things out, and we started our crews on the normal Monday route. They went out Long Point Road, hung a left at Whipple, went down to Mathis Ferry, made a right, and just started their way through the town. And the contractors started briefly on the 9th. There's a process that goes into getting them on the road, and it's getting their trucks in here, having them certified and measured by the monitoring firm, and then there has to be monitors with each contract crew as they collect. So it's a somewhat time-consuming effort, but they did start probably towards the tail end on the 9th, but really started full up on the 10th. And we tried to develop a plan that was efficient and methodical, and we looked at the type of equipment the contractors were bringing in, and they brought a lot bigger equipment than they did during Matthew. So where could we most efficiently employ them, and where could we be more focused? Our equipment's a lot more nimble, and we know the area, so we tried to put people in the right areas to gain maximum efficiency. The plan we came up with seemed to work pretty well, and as more crews were made available, we employed them throughout the town. We started with the contractors in Dunes West, Charleston National, and Snee Farm. And then as more crews became available, we looked at the IOP connector and pushed one group north on the on Rifle Range Road and one group south on Rifle Range Road and just tried to clear the town in zones, making sure that every area had people working in it to try to spread it across the town. We also ended up every morning we had a morning meeting at 7:30 with the contractors to coordinate our efforts and theirs, and every afternoon we participated in the county meeting so they knew where we were at. And one of the agreements with county to get everything rolling smoothly is it didn't matter if it was within Greater Mount Pleasant, it was being collected, whether it was a county area or specific to Mount Pleasant. But that actually made things very efficient with the contractors and everything. Here's some pictures of the collection effort of our folks. I mean, obviously you see the loaders and the scows picking up debris in bags, and then in the bottom right-hand corner was a picture of our transfer yard. I think the transfer yard was more full than I've ever seen it in my 4 years here. We had it pretty much filled to the rims, and we were filling it as fast as the contractors could empty it. The way we do this is our trucks bring everything back to the transfer yard because we have a quicker turnaround time and we can get the debris off the streets at that point. And then the contractors come in with the bigger trucks to clear out the transfer yard. Contractors, as they're picking up on the street, have to go up to Seawee where the debris management site was. So they have a longer drive and turnaround than we do. But this allows us to get things off the street faster, but it does result in some double handling of the material. This is kind of where we ended up. The map on the right-hand side was as of close of business Thursday, and you can see that there's only the green represents everything that had a second pass complete. The orange was ongoing, and those were the last couple neighborhoods that were completed. In the end, these numbers, again, are reflective of close of business Thursday, but we had about 1,224 truckloads. Our scows coming, 1,224 of our scows coming to 6 Mile. We did about 29,028 cubic yards. We'll probably finish a little over 30 or 31,000 cubic yards that Mount Pleasant folks took off, our folks took off the street. And we did this in 17 days of collection, which is faster than we've ever done it, at least in the 4 years that I've been here, the three major storms we've done. The contractors, as of Thursday, had done 1,318 truckloads. They're probably sitting about 1,500 right now. I'm sorry, I hit the slide. They're about 1,500 truckloads now, and as of Thursday, they had done 73,486. The number that's on file now with Rostan is 82,000. Grand total for truckloads as of Thursday was 2,542. With what we estimated to be about 102,000 cubic yards of debris. This number will go down because there is some double counting based off of what we bring into the transfer yard and then what they take out. It'll probably end up between 80 and 90,000 total out of Mount Pleasant. And it was in, the contractors worked 20 days on it. We worked 17 days on it. In general, when you look at the comparison up there, I put up the Irma numbers and the Matthew numbers. In Irma, we did it alone, and we took out 27,916 cubic yards, and it took us 25 days. And then in Matthew, with contractor help, we took out 131,451 and then did that in 25 days. So we were a lot more efficient this go-around and a lot more effective. And I think there's numerous reasons for that. I mean, one of them is the equipment we had available. I mean, we had more loaders to use, and we had more loaders and people because we've gotten the fully automated garbage trucks, which has allowed us to transition some people to the C&D side. And we've got experience doing this now, and that's really paid off for us, I think, in the long run here. And if you look at it, this final slide is what the debris management site looks like. What some people like to call the Fire and Police Training Center, we prefer to call the Seawee Debris Management Site. And this is what it looks like right now. If you look at the top left-hand corner, that's the big contractor trucks getting up there and dumping debris. The one to the right going clockwise is the grinder that's starting to grind it. And then bottom left corner, there's a loader that's pushing it up. And you can see the size of the pile out there. That's from last Thursday. So it's probably even bigger than that right now. But the contractors have been very efficient out there. I mean, by the time it hit the ground when they unloaded the trucks, I mean, it was all grinded before they closed down shop every day. And that concludes my brief, if there are any questions.
Well, Andy, I appreciate the presentation. And again, I just want to commend Public Service Department staff, what you've done, the coordination that you provided, the comments that I received were just exemplary. I mean, you guys did a phenomenal job, and I guess the shortest amount of time that you have used to date. So, again, we all are grateful for the work that you did, and all of your staff, and all of your loaders, and all your refuse, and because we kept getting our garbage taken out as well. I mean, so you guys had your hands full, and we appreciate all that you did.
I like that.
Thank all of Public Service Department for everything that you've done. You've done just an amazing job. Thank you.
Mr. Owens, like that, also, we were able to keep that recreational activities ongoing, too.
Yes.
And I will, in my budget, be asking for some bunion trucks next year.
All right, we'll see. Committee? Yes, sir.
I'd just like to thank you as well, Mr. Peel and Andy and Frankie and Jennifer, for all your hard work, and the rest of the crew as well. One of the things, I remember we had a conversation about maybe a year ago, Mr. Peel, where discussing how public service is really our first responders. We had that discussion in May earlier this year, or April. And when trees were down during that storm, before we could even get the chatter online, there was already a crew there. I mean, it was incredible. And to be there first and immediate, and there, you know, you're letting the fire and police department get to the people that are in need, and it really is important, and you did an excellent job, and it just proves that, yes, public services are a critical part of our first response network, so thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Ms. Lanning?
I think this is a time where it's okay to be a little redundant. I think we just need to all make sure you know from the bottom of our hearts how great of a job you did. There were some other more public things on the news and so forth about people that did a great job. I think the Public Service Department of Mount Pleasant did an unbelievably great job. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you again, Andy.
Yes, sir.
Item number seven is to adjourn. Is there anything for the good of item number seven is to adjourn. Is there anything for the good of item number seven is to adjourn. Is there anything for the good of item number seven is to adjourn. Is there anything for the good of